the Mad Men DVD review.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. There's the professional Mad Men DVD review.
And what are we reviewing today, Ben?
Yes, Ben, what are we reviewing today?
Akira. Akira. Oh, well. People will forgive me if I don't get it exactly right.
That's right. They will not be grumpy if you don't. What's going on?
Akira is a 1988 sci-fi anime. And a very influential one at that. It's certainly one of the great animes that everyone talks about, and I've never actually seen it.
I actually haven't seen it.
No. You reacted when I said that's what we were reviewing this week.
I know what it is. Like, I know it's like a famous anime with an incredible cover and quite revolutionary, apparently. But I haven't seen it either, so I'm relying on you to know what's up.
Yeah, well, I was in that situation for a long time, but I'll confess I didn't really want to see it because I knew enough about it to kind of figure that there were some bits I wouldn't like in it.
Okay, all right.
And it kind of, I mean, I had exactly the reaction I expected to some of it.
So, like, what are we talking about? I mean, I don't know what you like and don't like, Ben. So, like, what are we talking about here?
Well, first off, I'll talk about what I did like. It's a great movie, and it showcases the best of animation. In that the story is sprawling and epic and complex and imaginative and depicts a world in immense detail that we have not seen and cannot comprehend, despite apparently only being 2 years in our future.
So it's set in 2020?
2019. Uh-huh. It's actually set in the lead up to the 2020 Olympics, and it successfully predicted the fact that the 2020 Olympics would be held in Japan.
So it's quite prescient.
Yeah, apparently a lot of Akira fans were quite excited when they announced the fact that the 2020 Olympics were indeed going to be in Japan. Just like how Doctor Who predicted the 2012 Olympics would be in London.
Maybe it's just the Illuminati, bro.
Yeah. Or maybe the Olympic Committee is rigged.
Well, they just watch a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they do just watch a lot of movies and think, how can we make the fans happy? Because that's what it's all about. It's for the fans.
It is for the fans. Just like this show.
Anyway, Akira, it's about a future where there has been a war and Neo Tokyo has been rebuilt with a very futuristic design.
As if Tokyo wasn't futuristic enough as it is.
Yeah, well, it's kind of built off that and kind of, but it's like an 80s future because it was made in the 1980s. It's kind of that retro future aesthetic that you see in a lot of, you know, you saw in Blade Runner and stuff, because they've still got the neon and the rain and the stuff. Or the dingy alleys and the drug crime and biker gangs and stuff, except it's all futuristic. Interesting as a look back on the period, you know, to see what were the zeitgeists or whatever of the time. Anyway, in this future, there are governmental programs to experiment with psychic powers. There are certain people who have abilities due to experimentation, and the movie follows a member of a biker gang and his friend as his friend is captured kind of by the government and experimented on and becomes one of these telepathic beings and explores his new powers. And I guess that's kind of where the movie ventures in the territory where I didn't enjoy it so much. And let me preface this by saying a lot of people will enjoy this, and in fact most people have enjoyed it, and it is an incredibly popular anime and very well respected for good reason.
So are we talking like some violence basically?
There's violence, yeah, and not all of it feels like founded or relevant to the movie. But it's more so like the scope of the film, like, I don't want to give too much away, but it's, I guess it's the best and the worst of animation, because you have this ability to explore limitless power and, like, godlike power. And it's not always making the most satisfying movie, making the most interesting movie, or making the most relatable characters. And everyone's kind of an asshole in this movie.
Oh, that's always sucks, eh?
I mean, there's the hero. The hero is a good guy for the most part, but everyone seems to make these decisions which you don't really relate to. And the movie culminates in a sequence which is very disturbing, like, gorific to a nth degree.
That was a part of anime, though, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It was, I think that's, maybe I'm not speaking with massive authority here, but I'm pretty sure that was part of the reason why it became so popular in the 80s and 90s, is that it was still quite, censorship was still quite a big deal. Like, Saw hadn't come out yet, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the gore race sort of hadn't really begun. And so it was sort of like with animation, because it wasn't real, you could be quite over the top with your, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And this movie, like I said, most people do like it, but it, I mean, you can do big set pieces of disgusting things and feature lots of violence and a future which we cannot really understand, and so complex you have to understand a fair amount of the background or watch it a few times to really get everything in the movie. You can do that and people will love it.
Well, I think,
but not everyone will love it.
Well, the thing
and
is,
I'm the dirty minority.
Well, it's like a comic book. It's from a comic book, so
yeah, a long running manga, which is very popular in its own right.
So I reckon for the fans, the first time when, for them, it's like they knew all the background. So like,
well, I think the story differs a lot, but a lot of it hadn't been written yet. But the characters and the setting are the same, and probably a lot of the background is filled in. It does a good job for telling a story in 2 hours and 5 minutes, but...
Not your favourite manga you've ever seen?
Not my favourite, but I'm sure it will be many people. Perhaps not a good gateway manga anime for people... Yes. Young, especially younger people just looking for it first.
Start off with the Ghibli, yeah. Start off with the Ghibli.
I don't know. Yeah, probably. If you're a young kid, start off with Ghibli.
Start off with the Ghibli and work your way slowly up as you age until... I mean, what do you reckon? How old do you reckon you have to be before you can watch... I mean, I don't know about censorship these days. I don't know what these kids are watching.
I don't know. I don't know what they're finding on their YouTubes.
But you reckon, like... Definitely not for a 10-year-old, should we say that?
No, well, the movie is, like, marketed as a mature adult movie.
Okay.
I mean, where that maturity starts, whether it's, like, 15, 16.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'd say once you're that old, you can probably handle just about anything without permanently scarring you.
Have you been permanently scarred, Ben?
Maybe just a little.
So when you
just a little.
When you close your eyes, can you just see things that you
Let's change the topic. Because I was a little bit permanently scarred for the rest of my life by watching this movie. And I kind of knew that would happen because I knew what was happening at the end. But I watched it anyway. For you, Sam.
Hey, and I really appreciate it because I haven't watched it. But you know what? I'm going to go and scar myself too. This weekend, it's raining. It's good movie watching weather.
Apparently I'm the only one who had this reaction, so...
You can't be the only one.
All the listeners at home are probably like, what is he talking about?
Hey, a little bit
Google
of a,
it.
Google
or
it.
Or don't. Or watch the movie.
Yeah. Why don't you go to the Madman website and buy the film? How about that?
Yes, because we're doing a giveaway.
We are doing a giveaway, but this is a bit of a non sequitur. In fact, it is a non sequitur. I think it could be the definition of a non sequitur. We have the film The Fly to give away because something messed up with the scheduling of DVD reviewers, and Ben's here and Jogai's not. But that's fine, because lots of people love Jeff Goldblum. Am I right? Do you like Jeff Goldblum?
Yes, I saw him on Graham Norton last night. He was delightful.
Was he quite charming?
Yes, he talked about shaving his nose hairs.
So charming, that Goldblum.
And it's also 80s, and it's also sci-fi. So, basically, yeah. And it's also gorific. It's just dripping with gore, isn't it? Well, I haven't seen it, but it's a David Cronenberg movie.
It's a Cronenberg. It's about a man who becomes a fly.
Yeah, not just any man. Not Jeff Goldblum becomes a fly.
What we'll do is we'll give this away to a text messenger. So if you have seen The Fly and you like it and you would like to rewatch it, or if you haven't seen it and you like Jeff Goldblum and you're like, oh my God, I haven't seen this movie that Jeff Goldblum's in, it's an early one of his, why don't you give us a text on 5395? Tell us your favorite attribute about Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. Physical or performative or whatever.
It can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
It can just be a sketch he's in on Tim and Eric that I love so much. No, it can't be, because I just gave you that one.
Mm-hmm. He was on Portlandia too.
Oh yeah, he was.
He was great. Selling dollies.
My friend looks like Jeff Goldblum. Like.
Do I know him?
He plays keyboards for Lord. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. But if you look, Google Lord's keyboard player, he looks remarkably like Goldblum. All right, I have to put on a record. I'm going to put on something Japanese. You like that, Ben?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it.
That was the Madman DVD review.
And it's in color.